You are not the first to listen to this podcast, nor shall you be the last. Hopefully.
Welcome to the Laughing Place Podcast, where we discuss, debate, debunk, and deconstruct anything and everything Disney. My name is Jonathan.
My name is Daniel.
And my name is Megan.
On this episode, we'll be talking all about food, where our favorite meals are in the Disney theme parks, the top 10 best Disney movie feasts, and tips on eating inside Disney destinations. We'll also throw in the latest news, trivia, and our armchair Imagineering discussion. So let's get started with the news.
Club Cool opened at Epcot, restoring the popular sample beverage stations of Coke products from around the world. Also at Epcot, an exhibit about Viking history has replaced the Save Church exhibit.
It's really nice to see that the drink stations have returned, because there were rumors that they weren't.
It's also nice to actually be able to get your free samples of drinks without having to walk through a dank-smelling place where snow once was. I have to say, it's a little bit more bland, but I think it works better considering that the old Ice Station Cool hadn't had snow for at least a couple of years.
Also, I think it makes it much more visible for guests that are passing because it's a glass wall now that is very inviting, and I think you're going to find that a lot more people are going to enter the exhibit and taste the beverages.
One of the great new features that the new Club Cool has is an ability to shrink wrap your Coca-Cola bottle with a specially chosen shrink wrap by you. It's 50 cents above the cost of your Coke, and it looks really fun.
Yeah, the only thing about that, though, I would have preferred maybe one or two designs that are specifically Disney. I think it's a great idea as a souvenir, and actually, I think I would have bought one had they may have had one that maybe was Epcot-themed or Disney-themed. But it's a great idea. I'm really glad they did that. About the other story, the Viking History exhibit, I kind of miss the old Stave Church exhibit. I found it really interesting, although the new one is pretty good, too.
Well, I just felt it was a little bit bland, personally. It mostly was not all that informative and didn't really stand out for me. The National Turkey Foundation has reported that Tom Turkey, the National Turkey, will be honored as the Grand Marshal of Disneyland Thanksgiving Parade. After the parade, the turkey will become a resident of Santa's Reindeer Ranch, located within the park's Frontierland, where he will live out the rest of his days.
You know, for a flightless bird, he sure gets around.
Actually, I believe he had a military escort after President Bush pardoned him in the traditional Thanksgiving ceremony. What I'm really wondering is how many handlers are going to be needed to keep that turkey from seeing all the people around him as he's riding in the parade and, like, panicking.
What's interesting is they say he's going to live out the rest of his days, so I'm assuming that he's going to stay there at the Happy Acres Ranch, even when it's not the Santa Reindeer Ranch, so he's going to become quite a celebrity, right up there with Mickey Moo and Minnie Moo and Donald Moo or whatever else there was.
But I think that that's a great promotion for the happiest celebration on Earth, you know? I mean, where else would a turkey want to go after he's just been spared?
Where are you going to go next?
Holiday decorations are in full swing at both resorts, and a few days ago, Doobie, Benji, Rebecca, and me took a tour through the 2005 Osborne Family Spectacle of Lights. Join us now on a walk in the park.
So what do you think is the bigger success of opening this weekend, Osborne Spectacle of Lights or Club Cool?
I think ice over at the Gaylord Pops.
Is that time of year already?
It's becoming a blizzard right here.
It actually is snowing
very
right in this one spot. Pretty good, isn't it? It's Jonathan has spotted a hidden Mickey right there in plain sight. Very cool.
Thanks.
I didn't spot it.
You know what?
I really think this music needs to be louder.
I don't see any lights that make out Disney MGM Studios. Do you think that means they're going to change the name?
Okay, so there's an animated Mickey Mouse with Santa Claus count as a hidden Mickey.
No, that's an obvious Mickey. I think the one you saw counts as a hidden Mickey.
Yeah, I think that's.
Oh, did you see the other one? There's one in the star, in the white star.
Up. There it is.
Thank you. Good night.
Mickey is shaking Santa's hat, or is that really Steve Jobs? And does that mean we're now going to have a deal with Pixar?
Photo pass is here for those who need it. That's good.
You know, photo pass can save your place in line in some of our. No. It's nice. This year the sign actually says peace on earth and not pace on ear.
Once again, it's not raining today.
You got 15 seconds to count all the angels here. Go.
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Oh, I see a hidden Regis. I found the hidden Regis. It seems really empty for a Saturday night. This is opening Saturday night, right? Yeah. It's really quiet.
But yet very loud.
What?
What? Do you know how many sips it takes to get to finish one of those holiday mugs?
Three.
Yes. One, a two, three.
We've just completed the Osborne Family Spectacle of Lights 2005.
Presented by Sylvania.
Presented by Siemens, who owns Sylvania. In 10 words or less, what do you think?
Sweet. Totally.
It's a tribute to all holidays, but mostly Christmas.
Rebecca wins.
Today's trivia question. Which Disney movie's last line is, "Turkey, turkey, turkey"? The answer is coming up. And now for Armchair Imagineering, where we put on our sorcerer hats and come up with interesting ideas for Disney destinations around the world. Today we're going to be discussing holiday overlays in the different theme parks. One idea that I've had for a while is that now with these extra magic hours, they actually have the opportunity to do special things at night for the resort guests. And one attraction that I've always thought would be a good idea to do that on would be Rock and Roller Coaster, because a lot of the theming is based on lighting up flats, and so it seems to me it'd be very easy just to replace the flats and put in other flats that you could rotate, as it were.
And add that with some really rock-style Christmas music, and then there you go. It's a simple yet effective.
Exactly, and I could see how they would maybe want to keep that for the resort guests, because then they could have that as an extra bonus. And that way, if somebody's visiting from Helsinki or something, they're not disappointed that it's not Rock and Roller Coaster with Aerosmith. But it's a way to incorporate both ideas.
Right.
Another area that they have is the 20K site, which I've always wondered why they've never done a more elaborate maze-type setup for the not-so-scary events. They could easily do a villain's lair that isn't too scary, but yet is a little bit dark and exciting.
I think it might also be a good idea to consider turning the Liberty Bell riverboat into some sort of holiday cruise. You know, you could have maybe a live band or two playing Christmas music, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I believe that's been tried before. I think I remember that. And maybe they can even set up some sort of makeshift cart to sell, like, holiday cocoa or something.
Well, I know at one time they actually had Halloween storytelling on the Liberty Bell during the not-so-scary Halloween parties. And to my understanding, at least, I thought it was a very large hit, so I don't see why they couldn't do something like that during the Christmas season, especially during the really busy Christmas week.
Well, when it comes to Halloween and the attractions in general, I mean, they do have the big not-so-scary party, but when it comes to the rides, do they ever really do anything to enhance them for Halloween?
No, and I think that's partly because it's only been at the Magic Kingdom. And the Magic Kingdom, most of the attractions are too three-dimensional or difficult to do an overlay, especially if it's something that's only going to run at night. There are rumors that Not So Scary is going to be expanding to some of the other resorts, and one has been MGM Studios, where they may be incorporating Rock and Roller Coaster like I just suggested. So it seems to me that if they ever were going to do some sort of overlays, they would have to branch out from the Magic Kingdom. Of course, you know, when Everest opens, they could always just don a Santa hat on the Yeti and make it this holiday sledding adventure. That could be next year.
What if they focus more on different holidays from around the world?
That's true. I've always wondered why Epcot doesn't make a bigger deal about other holidays, like the national days of the different countries. I think that would be very interesting to see their decorations and whatnot. And they could really keep them up for a couple of weeks, I think. They do a little bit, I believe, for Chinese New Year, but I'd like to see more of that in Epcot, and I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, I thought that that was really neat. I didn't actually attend the Chinese New Year celebration myself, but I thought it was a nice little treat to happen upon. And if you made it a pretty regular thing where on a country's major holidays you could go to that pavilion and there would be something special happening, I think it really could be, really could enhance the Epcot experience.
Yep. Well, I think that wraps up this discussion. This has been Armchair Imagineering. Next week, we're going to be discussing concepts for the Timekeeper building at the Magic Kingdom, because it's been heavily rumored for quite some time that it's going to be closing, and it's very possible that this holiday season may very well be its last. So if you have any ideas about the Timekeeper building at the Magic Kingdom, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-327-5072. If you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling. You can also email us at podcast@laughingplace.com.
This Week in Disney History, where we highlight the historical dates of the week ahead. November 27th is the third anniversary of Treasure Planet. And December 2nd is the 40th anniversary of That Darn Cat.
Now for tour tips, where we give advice from the seasoned Disney Destinations visitor.
Well, why don't we start this discussion off by talking about our favorite Disney restaurants? My favorite quick service restaurant is one in Epcot. It's the Tangerine Cafe in the Morocco Pavilion. It's really good food, got a nice Moroccan feel to it, good hummus. And what's great is it's not so out there that you can't take a more picky eater, because they do have basic chicken and lamb. It's not anything too wild. And my favorite full-service restaurant is the Brown Derby at Disney MGM Studios. It's awesome. It's got a really great Hollywood feel interior. Really very classy golden age of Hollywood feel to it. And it's got awesome food. The grapefruit cake is not to be missed if you ever eat there.
My favorite quick service place is also the Tangerine Cafe at Morocco at Epcot. But my favorite full service place is Jiko at Animal Kingdom Lodge. This place is just pure class in my opinion. It's got a lovely decor, and I've only eaten there once, but we had quite a bit and I sampled other people's food because I'm always curious about such things, and I didn't taste anything that wasn't absolutely spectacular.
Well, my favorite quick service restaurant is the Tusker House at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Not only does it have, you know, the basics like sandwiches and such, but they also have different specials. Like one time we went there, they actually had a grilled salmon dish, and it was really good for the price it was for a quick service place. It was just really good. I highly recommend that. And for when it comes to full service, my favorite is the Kona Cafe within the Polynesian Resort. Although I have to admit, I've only had one entree there, and it was teriyaki steak, and it's just, like, the best thing ever.
A few suggestions on saving some money in the parks is actually, if you buy a soda at a cart or an outdoor vendor, it's $2 for a 20-ounce bottle. Now, you do get a 22-ounce cup inside a restaurant, but it does have ice, and so you actually do get less drink. And if you're like me, I'm somewhat sensitive to some of the Florida water, and it tastes somewhat sulfuric, especially at the Magic Kingdom. So I always suggest getting them from the bottled at the outdoor vendors. Another option is you can always get free tap water at any counter service restaurant. They'll give you a cup of ice or a cup of ice with water.
Another good tip is to make sure you eat breakfast in the morning before you go. If you eat a rather large breakfast, then a lot of times you'll be able to skip lunch or just snack while you're in the parks.
And there are a lot of great snacks in the park. One of the better deals is a turkey leg.
I just wanted to add that it helps to plan ahead and make advanced dining reservations at least a day or two before you plan on eating at any location, especially if you have a large group.
And if you're dining at Cinderella's Royal Table, please make your reservations 4 years in advance.
Welcome to the Nitpick of the Week, where we analyze everything to the millionth degree. Today we will be talking about Pirates of the Caribbean and the Curse of the Black Pearl, or POTCTCOBP.
Good job. Say that 10 times fast. No, don't, please. Pirates of the Caribbean, lots of weird things going on in that movie. First of all, the crew of the Black Pearl claims that they can't feel anything, but only sometimes, because sometimes it seems like they feel stuff and sometimes they don't.
For example? ash falling on their heads at the beginning of the film when they attack the village. Well, he's like screaming in pain,
and he says, "Hot, hot,
hot, hot, hot."
How can he feel it?
Ooh, and then they take the dress of what's her face,
Elizabeth Swann.
What's her name? And he says,
"It's still warm." But how can he know? Da, da, da. It's a mystery. I mean, are you supposed to assume that the pirates are exaggerating their existence when they say they can't feel anything? Or did the scriptwriters just mess up?
And also, what about when they keep on getting beat up and swords going through them and everything and they're all yelling in pain? Maybe it's just in their nature to scream. It's like just a reflex that they can't control.
I don't know. It really seems like they're reacting in pain. I mean, if you couldn't feel anything and I slapped you, wouldn't you not really react?
I don't know. I've never had the privilege.
Now here's a question. If he says that food turns to ash in his mouth, why did the wine turn to ash in his stomach?
Because it's not food. It's wine. So I guess wine could work. Well, maybe you have to be when you're not, like, in the moonlight. Then it, like, does stuff.
So if you can eat in the moonlight and it doesn't turn to ash, it just goes through you. But if you don't eat in the moonlight, then it turns to ash.
Wait, but here's the thing. If the moonlight shows what they really are, then when you see them as people, that means that you could like sort of like reach through certain parts, wouldn't you? Because it's just an illusion that they're really people. At the end of the film, Jack Sparrow shoots Barbossa when he's a skeleton. And then apparently once the curse is lifted, then he dies. Well, considering he was shot as a skeleton, wouldn't everybody else have been dead because they were all getting punctured with swords and everything?
Yeah, that's one thing I never understood, is even though they're skeletons, you would think that the wounds inflicted on them as that cursed state, once they were out of that cursed state, would all of a sudden exist.
Apparently for Barbossa, that's how it works. Maybe they're like really fast healing, and then
it only works for 30 seconds.
And then Barbossa didn't get healed fast enough.
It's like an RPG thing. Now here's a question, because the monkey jumped off with the coin, does that like start a new thing or does it reset the old one?
No, it starts a new thing because the monkey is the only one who took it. Because before, everybody took stuff.
Now who's the monkey gonna have to pay a blood debt to? So that would mean that the monkey would have to
He would have to puncture himself and, yeah, have to draw blood onto the coins.
I don't think that PETA would allow that one.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
Wait. I have an idea on who the monkey's gonna have to pay a blood debt to. Davy Jones! He's a monkey! Oh!
The trivia question was, which Disney movie's last line is, "Turkey, turkey, turkey"? The answer is Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. Today's top 10 list is featuring the best Disney feasts. Yum, yum, yum. Number 10, the buffet in Herbie Goes Bananas.
I think this made it on the list just because it had a really cool glass swan sculpture. I always go for those.
Number 9, the salmon run in Brother Bear.
Hey, you're stirring up the water, dude.
Yeah, try not to scare off the fish there, buddy.
It would have been higher, but it's kind of mono-foodmatic. I don't know the word for that.
Number 8, the peach in James and the Giant Peach.
Now who would have wanted to be immersed in a giant fruit and eat your way out?
They do a lot of very fascinating stuff with that, too. I think they, like, make drinks and all sorts of stuff. I mean, that's really cool.
Well, it's a whole big segment, Eating the Peach.
Eating the Peach. That was a fun song. Number 7. The fruit spread at the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse.
Now that's like a vitamin C buffet if there ever was one. Every type of fruit just laying out there, it's beautiful. I tell you.
It lasts a very long time. Number 6, Pooh's Honey Buffet in Winnie the Pooh and the Honey Tree.
Now Pooh makes honey look awfully good, and I was really upset one day when I was a kid and I tried honey straight and it was gross.
Well, I mean, it's nice on other stuff by itself. It's like, whoa!
Yeah, but he makes it look so good.
It looks so good.
Now if that was like a big vat of like nacho cheese, I think I could do that.
I hope he has a lot of moist towelettes after that. Number 5, the huge turkey feast from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That was one big turkey and one big dog bone.
Number 4, Johnny Appleseed's Apple Buffet.
Apple pickles.
Mighty tasty.
Apple butter.
Apple paste.
Apple dumplings.
How'd you like some apple, Sam?
They've got apple everything. Have you ever tried an apple pickle?
It sounds kind of fascinating, but, you know, can't knock until you try it, right?
No.
They even have apples.
You know what's ironic is that movie was sponsored by Microsoft.
Number 3, The Ghost of Christmas Presents, Demonstration of a Feast.
Willy the Giant, who will make another appearance on this list, shows Scrooge all the different kinds of food that people eat during the holidays.
Number 2, Willy's Spread and Mickey and the Beanstalk.
Pot roast! Chocolate pot roast! With green gravy!
What exactly is chocolate pot roast?
Is there like meat involved at all, or is it just like chocolate pieces?
It's chocolate that's like shredded.
Well, it's chocolate pot roast with pistachio gravy, so it sounds kind of like some sort of desserty thing. Sort of. Maybe it's like one of those weird desserts.
It's like chicken mole minus the mole. Or the chicken.
No, minus the chicken part. And now, number 1.
Drum roll, please.
Be our guest. Which is ironic, because Belle never eats anything. Well, you know what, actually, she does taste that gray stuff, because it's delicious.
It is rather odd that, like, the most amazing spread, where the food is actually dancing in front of you, and yet you don't want to eat it. But maybe that's what scared her. I mean, who wants to eat dancing food and whatnot? I mean, would you?
You're afraid that the fork is gonna can on your food, I guess.
It's rather disturbing. But you gotta feel sorry for them to go to all that effort and she doesn't eat anything. And yet she says she's really hungry at the beginning of it.
She's on one of those diets where she can only have the gray stuff that's delicious.
She's on a C diet. She can only see the food. She can't eat it.
Ah.
She must be
really full then. Wow.
She thinks it. It's a Zen thing. She thinks about the food and she fills her stomach up.
She can taste it without, like, even tasting. It's amazing.
Well, that wraps up another fine episode of the Laughing Place podcast. Very satisfying, scrumdilyumptious. Toasty. We'd love to hear some comments about our show, so you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or if you'd like, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-327-5072. If you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling. We'd love to air some voicemail ideas about the Timekeeper Overlay, which is going to be our next armchair Imagineering discussion, so please go ahead and call in. And now, Jonathan, with some last words.
Remember, early to bed, early to rise means no pyro, but really short lines.
Goodbye, folks.
See ya.